At this stage, the mountain of God is invisible to you. You are in the lowlands of corrupt, natural, godless man.
Two dimensions. One of what once was my life, and now my life is completely different.
Okay, so in this stage, we are beginning to recognize that there is a summit for us, that there is much higher ground for us to take in the name of Jesus Christ.
Obedience and crucifying the flesh. In my church, nobody talked about that.
If anyone, are you getting this? If anyone, are you in anyone?
And Jesus was upfront about what it would cost you to follow him.
Then he said to them all, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross. How often? Daily. And follow me. If I were to go and interview some of these people and ask them, so could you tell me some of the sacrifices that you've made in order to do this? What are some of the things you've given up? And they might talk to me about having given up relationships, given up time with family, given up. If Jesus did it all, if the finished work gospel means that you don't have to do anything but believe, why the rest of the Bible? Now, next one, 2 Peter 1:3-4. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises. I always like to, for the encouragement of other people, to let them know I've always been afraid. In my natural self, the part of me that's an atheist that can't believe and can't trust God. But it's by his spirit. So once my flesh gets a chance to react, I then say, ah, but what is my spirit saying? And my spirit says, trust God. There is some sort of a radical step that usually has to be taken to separate you. It's a type of separation. You can think of Moses forsaking Egypt, being called out, but Abraham being the father of our faith, you can see him having to leave. That is a picture. That is a type and a shadow.
There's some things you hear from the Lord and you just have to do it. I mean, they're not in the Bible, but you have to do it. And everybody thought I'm nuts.
I just say to the Lord, you can do whatever you want to do with my life.
I thought like I was going to die. He was going to take me. So I told God, like, take whatever. I don't want anything in this world. Just take my life, whatever you want.
I said, God, whatever you need to do in my life, just do it. Like, just cut it off. Do whatever you need to do.
You can hear I'm already breathing hard. And we've only just started. And believe it or not, the part that I've just come from is by no means the steepest part of this beginning. It was about a week ago, I met a couple who had moved here from Salt Lake City, Utah. And I told them how jealous I was of the fact that they had all of this right here in their backyard. They had been to another trail where they were able to drive to, which I had also been to, and it was beautiful. But I assured them that it was nothing compared to this. So I saw them about 2 days ago and I asked them if they had a chance to come up to this trail. And they said, oh, we just tried it, but it was so steep, we turned around. I saw immediately what a parallel or a parable that is for a life of reaching spiritual abundance, fruitfulness and maturity in Jesus Christ. In order for you to even get on this path, to even begin to first begin to enjoy some of the beauty of what it means to walk with God by faith, you have to go through this very, very painful, scary, steep, steep section. And it's called surrender. But the tension got to the place where I will remember one time my wife, my three children were gone on a vacation, and I was so upset. I got on my knees in that big house and I lifted my hands to God and I said, God, I surrender everything I have
I'm tired of feeling like this. I'm tired of living a double life. I'm tired of being double-minded. I'm tired of feeling torn between my desire for more of success and my desire for more of you.
George Mueller, at more than 90 years of age, in an address to ministers and other Christian workers, said, quote, "I was converted in November of 1825, but I didn't come to the point of total surrender of my heart until 4 years later, in July of 1829. It was then I realized my love for money, prominence, position, power, and worldly pleasure was gone." My dear brother or sister in Christ, allow me to interrupt the words of our most honorable brother and call to your fast attention the fact that he did not receive freedom from, liberty from, these vices, these pollutions in the world, these obstacles standing in the way of him and God having his way with him and God doing his very best through him, until he was courageous enough, desperate enough, wise enough, obedient enough to give an absolute total surrender to the Lord. The things he feared did not come to pass. What came to pass? Spiritual blessing and riches, the removal of the love of money, the removal of the love of prominence, position, power, and worldly pleasure. These things that are in so many believers, choking off the word, preventing them from being able to be a fruitful branch in the hand of Jesus. He surrenders, and then he receives the grace of God to live in the freedom and the power and the character and the spirit of Jesus Christ as he's called to do. Pay attention to that. George Mueller, if we were going to rewrite this with his permission, he would say, "It was not until I fully surrendered that I ever lost my love for money, my love for prominence, position, power, and worldly pleasure." Perhaps for you, it's security in the world, romantic love, the relationship with your children, whatever it is that holds you back. He's telling you, you will not lose those things and gain power over them until you do exact opposite of what you would expect, and that is to become nothing, weak, and abase yourself before the Lord in total surrender of his will. And that, my brothers and sisters, is where we get the grace to go on high, to do what we cannot do. And you will never have this experience until you go fully, totally, unabatedly, unreservedly, wholeheartedly for the Lord. There is no 99% with Jesus. But if you would just go all the way with him, if you would stop being so cowardly, if you would stop being so afraid and trust the one who made you, the one who's causing your ears to hear, your eyes to see, your heart to beat, your lungs to breathe, your brain to process. You cannot do any of this apart from him if you would just trust him and let go. I tell you, for those of you who will not trust him, those of you who remain cowardly, I'm going to tell you a terrifying thing that's going to happen to you when you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, calling yourself by his name, Lord, Lord. You know what the scripture says you're going to hear. But even worse will be all of those that have gone before us. 2,000 years worth of Christians who gave it all up, who swallowed their fear, who moved forward in spite of all that terror in their heart, and they found the Lord to be exactly what he said he was in his word, and what 2,000 years of Christian history and testimony have proven emphatically him to be. That is what happens to you and I if we don't go all the way with Jesus. Brothers and sisters, this is probably the most important message in the entire series. If you do not fully surrender, you will flounder. You will live a very frustrated, foolish Christian life, trying so hard to go through the motions
with no life behind of it, except that which is in your soul, that which is in your psychological self, that which is in your human emotions. There'll be no power, no life, no spiritual freedom in it. You'll be going through the motions, and there's plenty of other people who will go right through the motions with you. And all aboard, we're all headed to the great parade in the sky. We're all good with God. God's so pleased with us, and we're so pleased with Him. And you'll go on like an actor in a great movie scene that ends in tragedy. Because I tell you, without full surrender, the tracks at the end are off. I'm telling you, like the Apostle Paul would say, I'm washing my hands of your blood. He said, I've not failed to preach to you the whole counsel of the Word of God. You have got to give God a full surrender. This is what our brothers like Brother Jan Bischoff and Brother Howard Pittman, when they died in the mercy of God and were able to have an encounter in the spiritual realm with God, found out. And their message was, guys, we've messed up. We're doing all this for ourselves. We're going through the motions. We're playing church. We are not serving God. He is not the Lord of our life. We are. We give Him lip service and we're going through the motions. We're all a part of a big, gigantic Truman Show game down here called fake, counterfeit, worldly, myselfianity, Christianity. And God is up there wringing His hands of us. It's time for us to give up our life. It's time for us to treat Him as if He is Lord. It's time for us to do exactly what He says, nothing more, nothing less. It's time for us to stop being so pitiful and so pathetic and so afraid of the God who made us, who has good plans for us, who wants to bless us, who wants to use us, and yes, who is cruel to our flesh, who will discipline us, who sees we have an enemy in us called the natural man, who will test us, who will beckon us, command us to carry a cross, to deny ourselves, who will lead us into painful things. I have it all in my life. George Mueller had it all in his life. Many of the 2,000 years, all these saints that have gone before us. Somebody needs to do business with God today and say, enough is enough. Quit trying to hold on to your life. It's absolutely pathetic when you get to the other side watching other people struggle on their cross. I want to again remind you, if Jesus didn't surrender to the cross, imagine Him whining, moaning, complaining, and screaming like a little baby. I don't want to die. I'm just going to mock. I'm going to make a fake Jesus so you can see how pathetic. I don't want to die. Please don't kill me. I don't want to die. And He's fighting and He's scrambling. He's doing everything He can to keep the Roman soldiers from holding His hand against the cross. Can you imagine such a Savior? It's pathetic beyond my ability to paint a picture. I'm so thankful I don't have a Savior that died like that. He surrendered. He says, the world must learn that I love the Father and I do all that He commands me. Brothers and sisters, Jesus is not the only one that had to do that. If you don't give it all up, you're going to have one of the most frustrating, miserable experiences, and you're going to have to lie to yourself over and over and over about your status with God. I'm going to tell you emphatically, from somebody who has suffered more than most as a result of my obedience to God, I find very few people that have lost two spouses for Jesus and five children and all the other things that I've lost as a result of following Jesus. There are not very many people like that. So please listen to me on the basis of that. You cannot, you will not, it is absolutely impossible. You will never outgive God. Whatever you give Him, you will never outgive God. Many men greater than me have said God will allow no man to be. He will be no man's debtor. It is true in Scripture. It's true in 2,000 years of Christian history testimony. Oh yes, you'll feel the burn of giving up. You'll feel the fear. But how in the world do you think you can outgive God? How do you think you could give up life, home, brothers, sisters, fields, children, hobbies, interests, goals, control? Time, how do you think you could give all of that up to God and find yourself empty-handed as somehow or another you're the only person that ever lived that outgave God? It will not happen. It is the entrance, death to life, death to you, death to all that you hold dear, death to you thinking you are the Lord, death to you thinking that He is a paper Lord. Death to you thinking He died 2,000 years ago and He no longer lives and we're just reading the story and going through the old motions of what His story was about. Death to Satan's power over you. Death to the world's pull upon you. death to the flesh's mastery over you with sin. That's what a full surrender means. Temporarily, if you only look at the surface, it will mean costly. How foolish we are. We're so afraid to lose our little children. We're so afraid to lose our family, our mommy, our daddy, our aunts, our uncles, our best friends. I tell you the truth, brothers and sisters, it is one of the most pathetic, foolish things of our life. We've actually just heard a story this morning about a man who's had to be severely disciplined because he has made his family an idol. He is not the only one guilty. So many people make earthly relationships their idol. We are to love one another. This is all about love. Ooga booga, kissy kissy, huggy huggy, family family. But what does the Lord say? Don't suppose I came to bring peace. I came to bring a sword. From now on, a man's enemies will be the members of his own household. There will be five members in a family, three divided against two, two divided against three. Jesus says, you are wrong. You are deceived when you think I have come to bring peace. So you have to be willing to let go of your little gods called family members, called jobs, called bank accounts, called talents, gifts, hopes, dreams, friendships, ministry opportunities. You have to be willing to let these things go, brothers and sisters. How many thousands of people, millions of people, if you don't let go, will be pointing at you at the judgment seat of Christ, or will be pointed at as examples of what you should have been that you were not, of what you were called to do but you did not, of what it was written in the scripture clearly and plainly for you to see, but you failed to read and obey. This is why Jesus said over and over again, and brothers and sisters, I'm just telling you, I have a unique experience. I do. I didn't ask for this. I didn't earn this. I didn't merit this. I've never met another human being that has received personally 70 to 80,000 or more emails from all around the world of people's life problems, issues, fears, hang-ups, sins, darknesses, diseases, spiritual filth, questions, deceptions. Tens of thousands of people. And do you know there are these huge principles that jump out at me as being major problems in the body of Christ? I talked about forgiveness, unforgiveness for years. But I tell you, the one I'm talking to you about now is the unwillingness to know the truth that until and unless you give up everything for Jesus and you bow before him continually, allowing him to be Lord. It's like Lisa and I were talking one morning. I said, do you see how believing on Jesus is not just a one-time event like everybody thinks? You have to continually believe on Jesus. Every new encounter with the devil, every new temptation of the flesh, every new unmet expectation, difficulty, circumstance, reversal, difficult problem, suffering, adversity in your life is a new time for you to believe upon Jesus. And that's when Lisa said, my goodness, this is exactly like surrender. We have to keep surrendering to Jesus daily. You don't just surrender one time. You can fool yourself into thinking now you're motivated right now, hearing my voice, feeling the call of the Spirit, coming under the conviction of the Spirit. You haven't surrendered. You're playing the game. You're voyeuristically watching Christ happen and the kingdom of God go on before your very eyes through the lives of somebody else that you're watching on YouTube. It could be me, but you know you're still on the sidelines. You've put your foot in the water, but you haven't yet gone in over your head. You haven't let go of the shore. You have something still tied to this earth and you refuse to let go, and you all of a sudden you let go in a moment, you say that's it. But brothers and sisters, it doesn't stop there. Luke 9 tells us we have to do that daily. Unless a man takes up his cross daily, denies himself daily, we cannot be disciples of the Lord. Even this very day, and how many times I could say that, this very day, there's been decisions to take in my life that I've denied myself on, that I've gone and sought the Lord's will. He has heard me today. The angels in heaven have heard me today. Lord, not my will, but your will be done. I have a good idea. I have something I desire to do. I don't know if it's of me or of you. Your will be done, Lord. That's full surrender. That's daily taking up my cross, denying myself. That's being like Jesus, who said the Son can do nothing on his own, John 5:19, but only that which he sees the Father doing. You want to be more like that. I want to be more like that. Brothers and sisters, you fool yourself if you're not going on with Jesus. You're going to play and dance around the edges, and the Lord will end up despising you and saying to you, flee from me, I never knew you. In fact, he calls you an evildoer. He calls you a worker of iniquity because you would not give him everything. Again, I tell you how absolutely shameful. Forget all the saints that he can point to in heaven. Watch him point to atheists. Watch him point to godless men, heathens and pagans, who gave up everything for an earthly king, who, if they were told to run themselves through a sword, did so without even thinking or questioning. Will he not point to those people, a much lower position, to shame us, who think we can go on in this life, playing church, talking all this lordship, and never actually acknowledging Jesus through our life and actions as Lord? My brothers and sisters, most important message of all, right here, this is it. You either do business with God or you do not. You either fully surrender and you mean it or you do not. And until you do, Jesus has nothing for you beyond common grace. He'll keep you just in the same kind of job blessings that he does a pagan in whatever country, whether it be China or India or Africa. He will look after you and make some rain come onto your crops, just like he does the pagans in India, China, and Africa. You will have some things that look like, wow, God has been good to you. It will all be for your terrible shame. You must give up everything for the Lord. It's not negotiable. This isn't something that you think you can negotiate. I beg of you, I implore you, go back by yourself, maybe even do it now. Pause this recording, go to Luke 14 and realize that king is coming for you. He is coming to make war against you. And you believing in him is not the terms of peace that he offers, apart from obeying him as Lord. Can you possibly imagine all the lesser earthly kings saying, hey, look, you guys over in that village, as long as you believe I exist, as long as you acknowledge that I'm over here in this kingdom, as long as you do that, you don't have any worries with me and we'll be at peace. No, what would be the terms of peace with any king worth his salt on this earth? You obey me. You submit to me. You are mine. I get to do with you as I see fit. How much more? The King of Kings, brothers and sisters, the Lord of Lords. Some of you need to stop playing negotiation with Jesus Christ. There is nothing to negotiate. You are guilty. And if you have had faith given to you by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you have been bought. You have an owner. You are a slave. You do not have a say about what to do with your life anymore. Get this message in the name of Jesus Christ. You lose your ability to do what you want. You lose as a Christian the ability to have your cake and eat it too. It doesn't exist except for in the counterfeit Christianity. Are you going to allow Satan and his minions and the fears of your flesh to keep you from eternal life? Are you going to allow 40 years of suffering for Jesus to keep you from untold billions of years upon billions of years upon billions of years upon billions of years upon billions of years that never stop because you can't fathom it? Are you going to trade and give up all of eternity for holding on to something that is, the Bible says, is a vapor, is a breath? Oh my goodness gracious, brothers and sisters, what is the greatest tragedy under the sun? A man thinking he can call himself by the name of the Lord, yet not yielding to the Lord, having his own way, and the Lord is so happy. Satan has done such a powerful number. Please don't be one of the ones that are asleep on this. Wake up. Wake up. Mueller writes, by God's grace, my understanding of his sufficiency has remained to this day, making me an exceedingly happy man. It has led me to care only about the things of God. Brothers and sisters, do you care only about the things of God? And so, dear believers, I kindly ask you if you have totally surrendered your heart to God, or is there something in your life you refuse to release in spite of God's call? Brothers and sisters, he's asking very kindly. We're in desperate times today. There's no time for games. I'm asking you seriously, and I'm asking you sharply. Have you given it all up to God? Can you think of an October 30th, 2009 day in your life where you gave up the ghost to Jesus, where you had your white funeral day, you drew a line in the sand and said, that's it. No longer my will, no longer my way. Lord, I now make you, Lord, do with me and mine as you see fit and mean it. What is the worst case scenario? I'll tell you the worst case scenario. You're listening to the voice of the worst case scenario. God takes not one spouse from you, but two. God takes not one child from you, but five. God takes not one best friend from you, but all. God takes all of your dignity. God takes this. God takes that. Name it. That's the worst case scenario. I am your worst case scenario. The joy, the blessing, the freedom from sin, the fruitful ministry, the knowing God, the answered prayers, the abundant joy, the rivers of living water, the peace that surpasses all understanding, the rest for my weary soul, the rivers of water that flow from within me to and from to other people. This is the consequences. This is the big bad wolf of surrender. This is what's so scary to follow Jesus and be real with him and come out of these dead buildings called church. Come out of this dead belief system you have. This is the penalty. Seeing God active in my life. Seeing God keep me humble, seeing God help me to see sin in me I couldn't see before and giving me grace to overcome it. Seeing God give me thousands of people over the years, over the world, that if I ended up in almost any country, I'd have a place to live. I'd have a brother or a sister who could throw an arm around me and put a cold glass of water in front of me. Having a family so big that I couldn't contain them in a building. Unless it was a really big building, and I wouldn't have enough time in the day to get to know all of them or talk to all of them. This is Mark 10:28. Lord, we have left everything to follow you. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, no one who has left fields, homes, mothers, fathers, wives, or children for me and the gospel's sake will fail to receive 100 times as much in this life. You will never lose if you truly have been given a God-given faith to follow him and give it all up. I am telling you this. You will be guilty of having heard this message. Brothers and sisters, even if you suffered 10 times more than me, I'm telling you, it's all worth it. The word of a king, the king, is supreme. Who can say to him, what are you doing? And why have you done this? If the Lord snatches away, Job says, who can say to him, what have you done? Let him have it. I tell you what, he's good. He's a God of love. He has good plans for your life. Jeremiah 29:11. It's not true the way the charismatics think, but it's true. As a new covenant believer, it is true that God knows the plans he has for you, plans to do good to you. I have prospered. I've prospered. I'm the richest man I know, brothers and sisters. I'm also the person who's experienced more death, more suffering than any person I know. I'm not saying more than any on the earth, but people I know. I usually just stop with, have you lost five children? And then it shuts them up. Not to mention two spouses, not to mention my parents, all of them. Who's the fool now? Where were all of my fears that were stopping me from surrendering? Why won't you believe me? 16 years since I gave that full surrender. We're coming up on the 16th anniversary on October 30th. Brothers and sisters, I'd turn my life and my skin and my organs inside out if they could communicate better to you right now about how worth it is to give him everything. Don't think that you can hold on to something that you've never owned to begin with. Your children are not your own. Your heart is not your own. Your money is not your own. Your house is not your own. Your parents are not your own. Your friends are not your own. Nothing. You don't own anything. How can you hold on to something that's stolen property and not expect Jesus to say to you, flee from me? I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. If you go 90% with the Lord, you have stolen from him. You are a thief and you will be found out at the cross. And if you give him the other 10% or whatever percent you're holding on to, you are amongst the wisest who will live forever. Brothers and sisters, this is the Spirit of Jesus Christ pleading through me to you. Quit playing games with this Lord. Quit playing games with Christianity. Quit thinking that you can hold on to your life, which was bought at the price of the blood of Jesus Christ, and you can just go on your little way and have your little Christianese party. You will not. You will be found out. And you will be guilty because you are listening to this message right now. I'm just going to tell you, until you get this step right, the rest of this series makes no difference to you. It is absolutely worthless. Any teaching, any YouTube video, any message, any scripture, it is completely, utterly, totally worthless until you totally surrender. You have to quit playing games with this God. I'm telling you, just because he hasn't written it in the sky, just because he hasn't rolled you over and smacked you awake in the middle of the night, I'm telling you, take this God seriously. Take Luke 14 seriously. And all of this easy believism nonsense, throw it in the garbage can. Get off of YouTube. Stop listening to these people. Stop thinking that all that entertainment, shmainment crap at the churches is the truth, because it is not. And I do mean and say crap before my Lord. That is exactly what it is. I say this all to you out of the love of Christ. Please, I'm pleading with you. I'm pleading with you to take it seriously. Quit being afraid. What are you afraid of? The God who is all love, the God who knows you better than anyone, the God who works all things together for the good to those who love him, is going to somehow or another crucify you, fry you up, destroy you, and hurt you? No, he may allow all those things to happen to your flesh, but brothers and sisters, he will grace you and bless you. He will be merciful to you. He will use you, and he grants you eternal life. My final question is to you, if you're not willing to give it all up for Jesus, to whom else will you go on the day of judgment to appeal for your soul? Where else will you find eternal life? In what other name will you be saved? And what other king can you run to protect you from Jesus when he comes and asks you why you are in possession of stolen property? God, I surrender it all. And I literally told God, I said, Lord, I give you my family, my children, this house. I place it all right here on this altar. If you need to take even my own family from me, God, I surrender everything. And I literally began praying for him to make me more like Jesus Christ and for him to use me for his purposes. I even told him to have his way with me. Most Christians are deadly afraid of surrender.
I do not know if my ears were blocked or God deliberately closed my mind and had his appointed time for me to be cracked open to receive all of that. But your videos were very raw, and it was very suited for my situation. But what I didn't want to hear was this process of losing your life to find it. I didn't know what my losing of life would look like. My losing of life could look like, okay, temporarily failing and then making it again. I didn't know that I had to completely die to self. And that was one of the hardest things that I found. When you talked about surrender, losing your life to find it, obedience. Brother, everything that you were teaching about always made me think of prosperity still. My heart was so carnal, and so was my wife's. We still were not willing to die. We were wanting to hear something that will make us come out of this. And my wife, even at that time, she wasn't not quite interested, to be honest, listening to you, because she found it very difficult. She couldn't understand it.
They can only think about, what is God going to take away from me? What about the unknowns? What about all the loss of the comforts? Is he going to send me to China? Will he send me to India? Will he take away my children?
But all I do know is I have this incredible sense of conviction. from the Holy Spirit that my life was not right before God. And I felt really, really scared. Really scared. I realized that I was basically on the white road.
There's a throne above the world. There's a man on the throne. He has a plan for things down here during this time of turmoil and strife. His spirit is down here to get that plan done. He needs each one of us. He puts his hand on each Christian life and says, "Separate yourself from all else for the bit I need you to do." His hand is on you. Are you doing it? Anything else classes as failure.
And so I got out of bed and I got down on my hands and knees and I started to pray. And I made a decision that I'm going to pray until I've surrendered everything to Jesus. And I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed for a long time because I've got two children and it was just really hard to let my children go.
Children, will he take away my job? Will he take away my spouse? This is effectively the same discouragement that the people that I had just spoken to last week about this trail had when the wife only got a short distance on this trail before she gave up. And she said, "This is too hard. This is too painful. I don't know that this is worth it." The first time I brought Lisa up here, I had to really encourage her. She started to huff and puff immediately down just a little shorter. Not too far at all before you actually start the trail. And I said, "But don't worry, it's going to level out. It'll be a little bit more moderate as we get up and you're going to enjoy the views and it's gorgeous up here." So I was able to encourage her like I want to encourage you. But it's as if this mountain that offers the most glorious, beautiful views that I have ever seen in my life, you will see when we get there. It's as if this mountain is saying, unless you have the courage, unless you have the spiritual or physical stamina in this instance, unless you have the willingness to strive to go on the heights, to overcome my challenges, to climb my difficult places, don't even step foot on the trail. It's so exactly like, this mountain is so much like Jesus in that way. Almost every time the crowds got big and excited about all the supernatural, all the great things Jesus could do for them, he points them to surrender. He points them to the steepest thing you could possibly climb at the beginning of your walk with Jesus Christ. One of the most painful parts of the Christian life, many of whom, like myself, lived almost 20 years calling myself a Christian before I ever even did this section because I had been so deceived by false, modern, counterfeit Christianity. I never even got a chance to start. I never really even knew how difficult a surrender would be, how vital and critical it is to a walk with Jesus, but Jesus never hid it from anyone.
And by Father's Day of 2010, my marriage was over. She left, took the kids, moved out of the house. Another 2 weeks after that to the day, she filed for divorce. Within a month into the divorce, the accusations began. I remember I just kept telling all of our friends and family, "No, you don't understand. God is going to take care of this. This situation is going to turn around." And I just believed in my heart of hearts that she was going to wake up in the middle of the night and go, "Oh my God, what have I done?" And that she would come back and apologize and that God would claim victory in the end and that our marriage would be better and that we would have one incredible testimony to tell. I just believed that that was going to happen. My business, my family, my kids, my name, my reputation, my hope for my future, it was all gone. My passion.
The crowds, they were big. Jesus' message got hard. Luke 14, Matthew 16. He says, "Anyone who comes to me and doesn't hate mother and father, brother and sister, yes, even his own life, cannot be my disciple." He would say, "If any man comes to me and doesn't give up everything he has, he cannot be my disciple." That's pain. That's surrender. That's a very steep, steep uphill right off the bat. This mountain is surprising because it is so steep, so fast, it really makes you afraid. But the people who have the courage to push through, who have heard from somebody else who's gone before, listen, don't give up. I've actually, while we've been here for a few months, I've told several people, I've seen them struggling their way up. And I'd say, listen, just keep going. Trust me, it's really worth it.
No matter what it is, God is faithful and he will bring you through it. And he'll help you and bless you in a way you can't comprehend. Because I can't comprehend the things that we have been blessed with since that decision was made. So I encourage you to just step out in faith, follow God wholeheartedly, full surrender. I promise you it'll be worth it.
It was not easy because, you know, I wanted a relationship with my father, even though I didn't necessarily have it. But I love the Lord more. To have God is to have everything.
I saw a couple who was pretty out of shape trying it, and the guy looked like he was going to have a heart attack. And I said, look, you're almost to the first place where you can see something where it will have been worth it for you to go on the heights. Don't lose the reward. Don't lose all that effort you put in. Brothers and sisters, there is no substitute for surrender in the Christian life. And until and unless we do this first part with Jesus, until we give him a full, no restrictions, abandonment, and surrender of our life and will, Jesus has nothing for us. And we're just going through the motions, but for no reason. We can't go 90% with Jesus. We can't go 99% with Jesus. He demands, as the Lord of all, the one who bought our life at the price of his blood, he demands all. And we owe it to him, brothers and sisters. So please, I beg of you, do not be afraid to fully surrender. Many Christians far better than me, many thousands, far more godly than me, far better Christians than me, have written in their journals or in their teachings that they finally realized that without full surrender, they would never have the full blessing.
I think that the great root of all my trouble and alienation is that I do not now make an unconditional surrender of myself to God. And until this is done, I shall know no peace. I am sure of it. Later, she says, oh, that he would indeed purify me and make me white at any cost. There must be full surrender before there can be full blessedness. God admits you by the one into the other.
That without going all the way with Jesus, he would never go all the way with them. They would have nothing with him. And that the only way to true spiritual abundance starts at stage one, which is very difficult, surrender. Now, once you've done that, once you've had the faith, John 3:27, faith from heaven, once you've had an opportunity to get over your fears and read a few books and believe that you can do all things through him who strengthens you, Philippians 4:13, that if God be for you, who can be against you? That if you remain in him and he in you, you can do all things, but apart from him, you can do nothing. Once you get through that, once you've settled the issue by faith, you surrender, and then you fight your way through that pain and the fear and the uncertainty of it all, holding on to the stories of those who've gone on the trail before you and said, it's okay, it may hurt, it may be a little afraid, God will catch you. You can never outgive him, brothers and sisters. It will feel like it for a time, but you can never outgive him. But until you surrender everything, not in pretense, not holding these things behind your back and saying, Lord, I'll give you everything except this. You have to trust him with your whole life. He's trustworthy. Humans in your life, human parents may not have been, but Jesus is worthy and trustworthy of your full surrender of your life that he bought at the price of his blood. Give it to him so you can begin and get to the next stage. That's where we're headed next. Let's go.
Would you like to hear more about the subject of surrender or more stories which illustrate the need to surrender? Please visit our website at relentlessheart.com, click the teaching menu, select messages by topic, and scroll down to the surrender category where you'll find dozens of messages I have made for others over the years which are not on YouTube about surrendering to God's will. Do you have a testimony about surrender or your struggle to do so? Please share it in the comments below to strengthen others.
You're on a path to fullness in Christ. It is the highest pleasure He has to see you and I conformed into His image, to see you and I live by faith. This is real. These parables that Jesus gave us, this parable of this climbing the mountain, He had me do this for a reason. It's real. Jesus' grace is real. Faith is real. Mountaintop faith is real. Mountain moving faith is real. Sanctification is real. Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ from all sin is real. Being a slave to righteousness is real. Moving out of Romans 7 into Romans 8, living a life of the law of the Spirit in love is real. These things are all real, brothers and sisters, but we have to perceive that they are there by faith, and we have to go after them and believe that they are real. This is faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you do not see.